This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Strap yourselves in, it's episode 73 of Sunday Supplement. With me across the internet is Izzy Lawrence. Hello, Izzy.
Hello. I'm a hero.
You're a hero?
Yes.
Are you holding on to the end of the night?
I am.
Are you tough?
Yes.
Are you strong?
Yes.
Are you ready for a fight?
I'm faster than a puppy.
You're faster than a puppy. Okay, why?
Yeah, I am.
Why are you a hero?
I saved a puppy, like a proper hero saves a puppy. I was walking up a hill, right? And it's a steep hill and it's in woods. And then this little grey blur rushes past me, right? From the bottom of the hill, I just hear this voice through the trees going, Gordon! Gordon!
The puppy's like called Gordon.
The puppy is called Gordon. So I think, well, that's a bit odd. And then I remember that the top of the hill is a field, and at the end of the field, there's quite a busy road. And so I leg it up the hill, and I'm chasing a puppy across the field, and I can see he's about to go into the road. And as he goes into the road, one car passes him, and he stops and looks in the direction it came from, looking really confused. And then another car is coming up the hill towards him and about to squish him.
Ooh.
And I leg it, don't quite volley over the fence, we'll sort of like open and close it really quickly, but still, run into the road, scoop him up with one arm, narrowly missing the car, which is braking and honking, going, wah! And I'm holding up this little pup-a-lup, skidding on my knees on the other side of the road, going, Gordon's alive. True story. I'm a hero. I saved a puppy's life. And then I gave it back to his owner, who put him on a leash and said, thanks very much.
How close was the car?
About 2 seconds. If I'd been slower, I would have been hit. And I was thinking that as I did it. I was thinking, well, this is stupid.
But you must have, in your brain, without realising it, done the maths.
Yeah, either that or I felt a bit suicidal that day. I was thinking that if I did get hit, they'd have to separate out me from the puppy in the morgue.
What sort of puppy was it?
It was a Springer Spaniel, but it was grey.
I can't top that story.
Yay!
I had a conversation on Twitter about fruit pastels, but that's not nearly as interesting.
What about fruit pastels?
Well, the correct order in which to eat fruit pastels is...
It's eat all the black ones before anybody else can have any.
No, it's black, red, green, yellow, orange. In that order, saving the best for last. But you think black's the best?
No. Black is definitely the best.
No, black is by far and away the worst fruit pastel.
You've got it in exactly the wrong order. Orange is my least favourite, then green, then yellow, and then I like the red and the black.
Or is it purple? It's purple on the packet, but it's black, definitely black, in the actual sweet.
I don't know what flavour it is. I think they get a load of pensioners to spit into a bucket and solidify it with sugar.
That's gross. What, you agree with Lucy, who I was having the argument with?
Well, she said that the pensioners spit it in buckets as well and solidify it with sugar.
No, she said that black ones are the best.
Yeah, they are. They're definitely the best.
They're not!
No, actually, Simon, all the gigs we've been to together, and we never once had fruit pastels, I probably was eating the green ones thinking, oh, I hate eating the orange ones.
We could have divvied them up, you mean?
Exactly. We could have been happy.
No, it's never
rather than polite and eating the ones that we didn't particularly like, and the other person going, oh, they're eating the best ones. We're ultimately the perfect pastel sharers.
Yeah, either that or we're a good example of what happens when you put a masochist and a sadist in the same room together.
I don't have any whips.
I didn't say sexual masochism, did I?
Okay, well, yeah, because sexual masochism isn't funny.
So, did you get a newspaper?
I did.
What was it?
I just felt like getting another one I wanted to read, so I got The Observer.
I did the exact opposite. I got one I didn't want to read because I couldn't be bothered, and I got The Mirror.
Well, I think I'm going to win. How do your chances fare, Dan?
Bad to worse.
Bad to worse. I'd say mine are middling to good. I'm a hero.
Let's play Cut Out and Keep then. Not that we play it. There's no kind of rules. Well, there are. There's no kind of end. Well, there is an end. There's no kind of competition. Well, there is a competition. All right, let's play Cut Out and Keep then.
Yeah, I'm going to win.
Why?
Go on, you go first.
Well, I didn't really have anything particular to cut out and keep because I've got Celebs on Sunday, New Moon Special, which is all twice.
I had that like 2 weeks ago in like the News of the World or whatever it was, and you wouldn't let me win that. So you're basically conceding defeat before. You're so behind the times. You don't even care about Bella and the.
I don't even know who they are. It says calling all Twi Hard fans. You see Twi Hard. Do you see it?
Why Twi Hard? Why not Twilight fans?
Like a Die Hard fan. Would be a better film with John McClane in it.
Well, yeah, but just because the Die Hard fans are so into that film, why does everybody get called a Die Hard fan? I don't understand.
What would be good is if Bella found herself in some sort of air conditioning system.
With Alan Rickman eating sandwiches below.
Yeah, going, now I know what a TV dinner feels like. That would probably be a good film. I don't think I'd like this film. It sounds to me, first of all, it sounds like a massive rip-off of Buffy.
Not really. In Buffy, the vampires change and look cool.
Yeah, but she falls in love with a vampire who doesn't want to kill anyone.
Their magic power is they're a bit fast, a bit strong, and they're covered in glitter. That's it. And they also look hungry.
But also, isn't it just a massive abstinence tale?
Not really.
It is. It's written by a Mormon.
I know that's the way that they've been selling the books, but ultimately it's just not really an abstinence tale, as in they try to get off, but if they get too close, he eats her.
Yes, so literally. No, not at all an allegory then.
So not really like, oh, we shouldn't do it because God wants us to do. More that if we do, I'll end up dead.
That's what an allegory is, isn't it? It takes something a bit further or it twists it slightly to make his point. Abstinence only doesn't work anyway. I did some research. Well, I typed it into the internet.
And how is it working for you, though, Simon?
Very well, I'm not pregnant.
You want to be, though?
Well, no.
No? Don't want to be pregnant? Don't want to have those little feet inside you waking up at night?
Kicking the birth to feet.
Imagine giving, like, having the inside of your ribcage kicked. That's the most oh, God. No.
What would be annoying would be if I was the first male man, if I was the first man to be pregnant.
You're not the first man to be pregnant. There's already been one who used to be a woman.
Yeah, if I was the first
man born as a man.
Yeah, to be pregnant. And then I just gave birth to a pair of feet. I suppose it's a fetus.
Oh, Jesus. I think we should abstain from you speaking sometimes. Oh, good, he is. Right, my turn. Simon. Right, what can I say to wind him up? Oh, hang on. He made a noise. I heard it. If you approach the cage gently, you just move the sawdust out of the way. It's very important that you don't wake them up suddenly because then they just bite. So what you got to do is just, you know, stick your finger in and yank them out.
Stop it.
Hey, see it work.
Beat my Twilight mania.
Chart of Lust 2009.
Chart of Lust?
Yeah.
Okay.
An awful lot stirred our lawns in 2009. Pop stars and politicians, silver foxes and works of fiction. Polly Vernon documents a nation's lust. Now, you will not believe who is number one.
Of the nation's lust. People are going, oh, I really want to tickle her chops.
Tickle her chops. No, this is all men. This is a women's magazine, so it's the top sexy men.
Okay, so they're going, oh, I really want to tickle his chops.
George Clooney is at 31.
What?
So
I would have sex with George Clooney, but he doesn't do hamsters. That's Richard Gere.
Guess who's at 34?
Who's at 34? John Ronson.
No, Stephen Fry.
Okay.
You're okay with that. That just strikes me as weird. 36?
Hugh Laurie.
Andrew Marr.
What?
Exactly.
People lust after Andrew Marr.
Matt Smith, the incoming Doctor Who. What number would you place him at?
Considering he's not really been on anything massive on telly and no one really knows who he is just yet. He's got to be quite low down, but that would defeat the point of you asking me. So he's got to be like 18.
22, quite close.
Not bad.
Where would you say? Now, this is an odd one. This is Radio 1's Chris Moyle show.
The show, not
yes,
Chris Moyle.
Yes, the show, not the show. No, just Chris Moyle's show.
I look at the DAT tapes on that. How can you lust after a show? Chris Moyle's show is making me moist at number 52.
No, 21.
Oh.
Yeah. So, okay, let's go with Dizzy Rascal.
Dizzy Rascal.
Yeah.
Is he the one that says, I'm going to let you finish?
He goes, they called me Rude Boy. They called me Steve.
Call me Steve.
And they don't call me Steve.
Dizzy Rascal will be quite high up, I would have thought. He'd be in the top 10.
Okay, where in the top 10?
7.
5.
Ooh. Okay, do the top 4 then.
Number 4, of all the men in the world who are sexy, Eddie Izzard.
What?
Polly Vernon is very odd.
Yeah. All right, number three.
Okay. Now, remember, this is the top sexy men. Number three, Michelle Obama.
What? Is Polly, what's her name, mad?
Actually, you know what? The Charts of Love fancies Shell more than Barry. You heard it here first.
Who's Barry?
I imagine that's Barack.
Barry. Has anyone ever called Barry Obama?
Number two is Barack Obama.
Okay.
Not for the Fantabulous or a Gottfried offering the New World hope, but for what he looks like in tight shorts on the beach.
Right, I'm going to guess who's number one.
Okay, because you're never going to get it. It's like Rumpelstiltskin. You're never going to guess who's number one. There's no possible way that you would know.
All right, it's Glenn Beck.
Nope.
Bill O'Reilly.
No.
Am I close?
No.
It's
somebody who you adore, however... There is no possible way.
You lust after him.
Yeah.
Before you said that, I was going to say Hugh Edwards.
Nope.
But I don't adore or lust after him. Someone I personally adore.
Yeah.
I don't know. The head of Citroën Motors.
What? No! Okay, I'm going to say this, right?
Okay.
And you're going to accuse me of lying. But number one in the chart of lust in the Observer Woman magazine, number one chart of lust, Peter Capaldi.
What?
Because Malcolm Tucker is a sheer unmitigated genius because he injected undiluted brilliance and sweary filth into In the Loop and the very latest series of The Thick of It, because he directed a feature in Joe Brand's exquisite Getting On, and because the Chart of Lust cannot get enough of him.
Well, you know how we have to end this section, don't you?
What, with a f-a-doodle dandy? The woman who wrote this is obviously nicely f***ed up. I mean, seriously, Peter Capaldi's all right, but to find Malcolm Tucker attractive, how much do you have to hate yourself?
She's an omniwazook. Just before we started recording this section, Izzy said that she was licking a picture of Jonathan Meade.
Looking at a picture. He's on my desktop on Brighton Beach.
You said, I'm licking a picture of Jonathan Meade, Jonathan Meade. I'm licking a picture of Jonathan Meade.
Are you singing? Does that mean that I win?
Well, we haven't started yet.
Oh, I see.
So, there. So, let's play Article or Farcical then. This is where Izzy reads out four headlines, one of which she's made up, the farcical, and three of which are from her paper, whatever that was, The Observer.
Okay, you ready?
No, I'm licking a picture of Jonathan Meade's.
First article, is this an article, is it a farcical? Please do play along, readers at home, and send in your answers after I've given out the answer so that Simon looks even more stupid when he gets it wrong. First one, Man of Squeal.
Man of Squeal? I quite like that. Is that about a rat Superman?
No, it's not. Next one, Banana Drama.
Oh, I like that. I think I know which one you've made up already. Banana Drama, and that's about...
That's about the fact that the Banana Wars, I don't know if you're familiar with the Banana Wars, Simon, but they're having a ceasefire, which means that England's going to be inundated with cheap bananas, but they're not fair trade, so we've got to keep buying the fair trade, otherwise the fair trade islands will go, because peace is bad for fair trade.
In a banana war, do they run around with bananas as guns?
No, that would be ridiculous.
Does Banana Man come and resolve it?
Yeah.
Cool.
They dress up as Banana Man and run around in pyjamas. And they go downstairs a lot. Anyway. Oh, God.
What?
I just rephrased coming down the stairs in a completely different way.
Stop it.
Anyway, bananas and pyjamas are coming down the stairs.
Stop it.
Banana milk. Right. Unhappy about Smile Service.
What's that about?
That's about like a credit card or something called Smile, and they're unhappy.
What's the pun there? Or is it just unhappy?
Well, it's kind of unhappy and smile. Shut up.
Okay.
And finally, eat, drink, and be moderate.
Do you know, I think that's actually my motto.
Is it? You're a middle-of-the-road man, are you?
Yeah, I am what happens when Demis Roussos becomes the world leader. I don't know what that means.
Hell?
I don't even know who Demis Roussos is.
I don't know who Demis Roussos is either. I bet his name isn't, in fact, Demis Roussos.
Demis.
Oh, Demis. I was going to say Dennis. Dennis and Roussos doesn't mix very well. It's like Boutros Stanley.
Right, so I'm drawn to Banana Drama, or I was until you actually started explaining what the article was about.
Yeah, it's a reasonable article, isn't it?
Yeah.
Perfectly believable as an article.
The one you were least inclined to talk about was the Unhappy Smile Service. But I don't know, it's just a bit boring. I'm going with Man of Squeal.
We'll take it backwards. Eat, drink, and be moderate.
It's an article.
Yes.
Yay.
Unhappy about the Smile Service.
Hopefully that's an article.
Yes.
Yes.
Is it between Banana Drama and Man of Squeal?
Was my first instinct correct?
No, it wasn't. Yay! You picked the correct one, Simon. Man of Squeal I made up, and Banana Drama is an actual article, and I so thought I was going to get you on that.
Yay. It's because you were too articulate about what the article was about.
Well, you're psychoanalysing me. Don't put me under that sort of pressure. That's really mean. You cheat.
Time to go wrist deep into the mailbag now.
Yeah.
What was that?
That was me going wrist deep into the mailbag.
Stop it. We had a few letters this week, but the one that really stood out was from William Starling. He sent us an email. He said, "Dear Izzy and Simon."
Correct order there, Simon. Noted. I approve.
There is no correct order in which to list us, except alphabetically. So yes, it's the correct order.
And it's also in order of importance and value to the show.
Well...
Because somebody is cheating on us behind our back, aren't they, Simon, with their other podcast? Don't think I don't know about that.
It's not really a podcast. It's just a thing on the side.
You're saying it's not a podcast, but, you know, it hurts. It hurts. You know, you go away at work. I'm here every week with your cup of coffee, with your evening meal. You come in, you don't even acknowledge me anymore, and then you run off with this other little podcast on the side like it means nothing, like what we've built up means nothing to you.
Well, it's true. It doesn't. I want a divorce.
Well, you can't. I'm not divorcing you, and if we did divorce, I own the podcast and I will win every week.
How is that any different? It just reminded me of a scene in Boston Legal where William Shatner and James Spader are having a tiff because...
Oh, thank you! Which one am I?
They're both brilliant. How can you not... You're actually, in this case, you're Denny Crane, which I'm jealous of, so... Anyway, my other podcast is about writing and really dry. It's not at all silly, so... Yeah, it's different. It's different. I don't flaunt it. It's just I needed something else in my life.
You're so uncaring. Just think of all of our readers. You know, they don't know. They don't want to come from a broken home.
This will cheer you up.
Go on, then.
William says, "I've noticed that Simon's been sounding a little depressed recently and probably needs a holiday. I found the perfect destination for him." And he sent me a link to a Telegraph article, and the headline of it was, "French Hamster Hotel Lets Guests Live Like Rodents."
Simon, you'd be so happy.
Well, no.
I mean, why would this be a marketable option for
people?
Well,
the article's talking about it's basically people who had hamsters when they were kids and missed them. But what they do once they get to the hotel is they sleep in hay, and there's a giant man-sized wheel that they're allowed to run around.
Have it got those weird plastic tubes that you walk through and then shit in the middle of so they're impossible to clean?
I hope not. It also hasn't got a giant water bottle on the side of the hotel.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Imagine that filled with vodka. We did that once. Hamster's not happy.
You killed your hamster with vodka?
No, I just got a bit drunk. We also gave it milkshakes. So we used to give it special milkshakes. So we'd soak like hamster grains in water and then it'd drink the entire bottle of water and then wee all day.
Did it explode?
No, it was all right. They just liked the taste because you made the water taste of the hamster food and it went mental for it. That and like Mars bars, it liked them.
You put Mars bars in its water bottle? That's just cruel.
No, you How just give it a Mars out? Bar. You give it a Mars bar, you slightly open the wrapper and watch it go mental.
You're going to make a joke about that's what happens when you give me a Mars bar, aren't you?
I know what happens when you get a Mars bar. You put it in your cheek and scuttle away.
It's the randomizer, Skyzer.
Yeah.
Where we pick at random something from our piece of shit supplements. That's a bit harsh, wasn't it? I'm sorry.
I haven't got a piece of shit. I've got the Observer Women magazine. I've got the Observer magazine, which is not for women. I've got the New York Times. I've got Media and Business. I've got Comments. I've got Critics. I've got everything. And also, I've got Kings and Queens, which is part two, the Tudors to the Windsors.
Okay, well, let's do Kings and Queens then.
Fine.
Well, I don't want to do a king or a queen. Well, I don't know. Would I want to do a king or a queen?
Which king or queen would you do?
Admittedly,
there have only been like four queens that you could possibly name in the last 500 years.
Victoria.
Mary of Orange?
No, I'd do Victoria.
I'd do Mary of Orange. And it's odd because I don't like the Rowntree's orange ones, but I would do an
She's
orange.
She's not a gooey fruit pastel, though, is she?
She might have been. You don't know that. People were weird in those days. They used to worship anything.
All right. Give me a page.
Okay, 1 to 34.
34 pages? I thought it'd be like 3 pages. 25.
25. Right, this is the second part of George III, which is the primitive treatment of the confinement may have made George worse, and he only recovered after he was able to return to his wife. So his fact file is on this page. So
is this
do you want
the Porphyria one?
Yeah, that's right. It's the one that Nigel Hawthorne played and had Blue Wee.
Yeah.
So he lived, can you guess his dates?
1757 to 1793.
Oh, you don't give him much. He's actually 1738 to 1820. He's long lived.
Wow.
Do you want to know what he liked? He liked music, button making, hunting, watchmending and farming. He disliked ceremony, fuss, and like most Hanoverians, his sons.
They've done it like a stupid celebrity profile.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What is he left behind? Most societies with royal in the title, such as the Royal Academy, which are given private startup money by George. He also funded the work of astronomer Herschel, who originally named Uranus after him.
Okay, on which note?
And purchase Buckingham House, the site of Buckingham Palace today.
You can have anything from my main celebs magazine. Most of it's Twilight, to be honest, but that's
okay.
Fine. Anything from 1 to 47, 48.
Okay, 18.
18. I think we might be in the Twilight section with that. It's Kirsten Stewart, who I only know as the girl in Panic Room.
Oh, I see, that's her name, Kirsten. Kristen. Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was going to be like, you know, it was a Twilight reference, like cursed. And Stuart. He's not only cursed, he's also called Stuart.
Apparently Taylor is the nicest guy I've met and the funniest.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I win this, don't I? By some miles. You've got Kirsten Stewart, I've got George
She's
III.
She's pretty.
As pretty as George III.
Well, I don't know.
She was mental and had blue wee.
Well, I can't say that Kristen Stewart doesn't have blue wee.
I can and I shall.
Time to squeeze out a humdonger.
Do you think that George III, because you know he had blue wee?
Yeah.
Do you think that's where they got the inspiration for all those tampon ads in the 90s?
No, I don't think that at all. It's disgusting and I hate you.
Hey, I've got a humdonger in the New York Times.
Really?
It's an essay, which on the front page by Nicholas Wade.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no news in it. Because like two archaeologists found a dancing floor in Mexico, they're saying that there's a god gene.
What?
Well, it's basically the idea that religion is around in every single society.
Oh, I see. They're not saying that there's a god. They're saying that there's a gene that makes us believe in God.
Yes.
I'm with you, right. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, but exactly. It's just an article which Richard Dawkins could have written, well, probably did, in fact, write years ago. And it's like, oh, it's news now. There's no sort of like, you know, it's just like, oh, religion's actually really good for bonding and it's group genetics over individual genetics. And you're just like, yeah.
I'm going to do an impression of you reading this article. It's going, dongers. Is that about right?
About right, yeah.
Well, I've got Funny 5 minutes with Steve Coogan.
Is it funny? Is it 5 minutes? Can you hold up that long before vomiting?
I wanted to believe that it was a kind of a weird pastiche and homage to Alan Partridge. It's a funny story, but it really isn't. I'm going to read you the questions. I'm not even going to read you the answers because he just clearly fed up with them by the first question. Right, these are the questions they're asking funny man Steve Coogan because he's funny. You ready? What's the funniest thing you've ever seen?
Oh my God.
What's the best joke you've ever heard? When did you last make someone laugh? What advert makes you laugh? What's the best practical joke you've ever played on someone?
Okay, practical joke, what's that?
Well, I thought he would talk about being Neil Kinnock and trying to sell a story to the Sun about Neil Kinnock being drunk in a hotel going, I'm Neil Kingcock. But no, he told a story about phoning up Mark Radcliffe's show when John Thompson was on it and threatening him with libel, which is quite funny, to be fair.
Not as funny as Neil Kingcock.
It's not as funny as Neil Kingcock, no. It's terrible. It's really terrible. It's like, oh, he's funny. Let's ask him about funny things.
So, Simon, you're a comedian. Tell us a joke.
I was walking down the street and opposite me, I saw a man coming towards me, and he had a massive orange for a head.
What, an orange?
Yeah, an orange, a massive
like a normal
orange.
Size, a normal size orange.
No, a massive orange for a head.
So like a blood orange or something.
Just an orange, just a big okay. orange for a head where his head would
okay,
be.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
I thought, well, I need to know why you've got a massive orange for a head. So I went up to him and said,
I mean, obviously, I mean that's a reasonable question. I mean, even a stranger, if you saw them like that, you would go over, wouldn't you?
Exactly. So I went over to him and I said, excuse me, mate, I can't help but notice that you've got a massive orange for a head. And he went, yeah, I have. It's a funny story, actually. Do you want to hear it? And I went, well,
said, yeah, definitely. You've got a massive orange for a head, like a massive
orange. A massive orange for a head.
It's massive.
So he starts to tell me a story. He was coming up to his wedding anniversary, and he thought he'd buy his wife an antique lamp. She likes antique lamps.
Oh, that's nice.
So he went to an antique shop, and we're talking those, not electric lamps, but old oil-burning lamps. Oh, and he found one in the back of the shop. It was covered in dust. So he thought, oh, that looks quite good. So he started to polish the dust off. He started to polish it. At which point, obviously, a genie appeared.
What, like out the lamp?
Yeah.
Because he was rubbing. I see. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then the genie said, thank you for releasing me from my entrapment. I'm going to give you 3 wishes. And for my first wish, he said, I wished that I would be really rich. And straight away, I was really rich. Everywhere I went, money just appeared. Like in my house, it was full of money. There's a room just full of money. And the more money I took out of this room, the more it filled up. It's money coming out of fruit bowls, out of drawers, out of everything. It's money everywhere. For my second wish, I wished that I could have sex with absolutely anyone from history, anytime I liked.
What, even George III?
Yeah, even George III. So for the next sort of 2.5 months, I just thought, oh, I want to have sex with Kim Basinger. There she was. I had sex with Kim Basinger. I want to have sex with George III. There he was. Had sex with George III. And for my third wish, I wish that I had a massive orange for a head. It's time to decide then who has the superior supplements this week.
That'll be me.
Why?
Because I rescued a dog.
No, that's nothing to do with the supplements.
I don't care. Okay. I've got more than you and it's better than you.
More is not necessarily better.
I've got an interview with a female suicide bomber.
Obviously failed.
Yeah, failed suicide. She was 15 when she did it and she's apparently really nice and the interviewer is getting along with her and then she just goes, don't be fooled by my nice face. If I had the chance, you'd be dead.
Ooh.
I know.
Well, I had 800 pictures of different people from Twilight, and they're generically pretty with lots of airbrushing. How could you not be impressed by that?
I had that 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago.
Didn't talk about it 2 weeks ago, though.
I did. I mentioned it.
Wow.
You edited me out. You edited me because you could see into the future and see that you would get a crap paper where the only thing was the same articles that I did weeks ago. I should win this and you know I should. And you're just being difficult because you don't like the comment about you and your little hamster hotel. That's the only reason you're being like this. You're being all immature. And you should be nice to me because you run off with another podcast. For those who are interested, Simon, what is the name of your other podcast and where can they find it?
I went with Bashing Keys and I don't really like it.
Okay. And it's basically a non-funny thing, so I'm not doing it with you.
Yeah, because you're the only funny person in the world.
I am.
And if you're not in the podcast,
that's why
funny.
Steve Coogan struggled so much. All his answers to all those questions are just Izzy Lawrence. What's the best joke you've told, Izzy Lawrence?
All right, the newspaper you should have bought last week was A Puppy Called Gordon.
No, it was The Observer, and it was good.
Whatever. Join us next week when we'll have more of the same, but with slightly different tone of voice. I never know how to trail next week, because we don't know what it's going to be about.
Well, it's going to be about a paper, I'm sure.
Well, it might be.
There'll be some sort of rustling involved. You'll act all offended at some point at something I did, and then there will be a point where you just concede defeat.
I conceded defeat years ago, is it?
Yeah, but it's nice that you have the little ripple, like continuing, like an aftershock of an earthquake every week.
Yeah. Slowly towards my own suicide.
Yeah.
If you want to write to us, you can do. There's all sorts of ways to do it. Facebook group via our website at sundaysupplement.com. You can email us at sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. Or you can send us a letter in the post. Just put Sunday Supplement. It'll get to us.
It won't.
We're like don't Saturday Superstore. Or Going
it'll probably
Live.
Get to the BBC's Sunday Supplement.
Yeah, probably. Izzy's off to rescue another puppy now because she thinks she's something special.
I'm like a dog superhero. I am. I'm like Hong Kong Phooey.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. If you want to write to us, have you done that?
Yes.
I forgot. Okay. He did that. I wasn't listening either. So if you do want to write to us, it's Sundays... It's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com or on Twitter. You can follow at Sidon, SIGHDONE, or at Izzy Lawrence, ISZI_LAWRENCE. We will see you soon. Goodbye.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.